our faith, dedication, and love for Jesus Christ our Savior. The Old Testament scriptures exemplify that Ruth, the inhabitant of Moab, is a vivid example of those who dedicate their lives to God in all times, and leave their native home and people, to work hard because they have faith in God. Ruth 2:11-12, and Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shewed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. In the New Testament, Jesus proclaimed, St. Mark 10:29-30, and Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. Boaz became a powerful symbol of Jesus Christ after he married Ruth, the inhabitant of Moab. She symbolizes the true Christian church in all nations. John revealed, Revelation 21:9-10. Come hither, I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Only holy people will dwell with him. God was prophetic to Isaiah, Isaiah 57:15, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We who are holy are in love and dedicated to the Lord, and will be a part of his holy family and live with him forevermore in eternal life. We must completely relinquish all selfish desires and diligently obey the faith of Jesus Christ with a total commitment for his love. Such love will cause us to profess by faith that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:13, These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They looked through the telescope of time and prophesied the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, coming for the believers of all times who had faith in God. Many people do not differentiate the love of God from human love, which is love for our family and friends. Only true Christians can manifest the everlasting love of God. Jeremiah 31:3, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Solomon 8:6, For love is strong as death. King Solomon was expounding the love in which Jesus Christ has for his bride, who is a metaphor of the true church. His love is so great. He surrendered his life for our salvation. His love is the greatest love ever exposed to humanity. Jesus said, St. John 3:16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the eternal love that Christ has for the church, that we should have everlasting life through faith in him. Apostle Paul experienced the love of God when he was obedient to the faith, which is in Jesus Christ. His love for Christ caused him to relinquish all selfish desires. Thereby, he demonstrated the genuine love of God through his total commitment to Jesus Christ. Paul said, Romans 8:35, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Paul asked the Roman Christians, Should tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness, and all dangers embracing the Christian's life, separate us from the love of Christ Jesus? Jesus is now asking us this question, Shall the lack of material possessions separate us from his love? Paul answered that question in verse 37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Poverty shall not be a weapon against us. Paul declared, Philippians 4:19, But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We shall conquer all our foes through obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul proclaimed his commitment to the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:38-39, For I am persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truly, the Christian's commitment to Jesus Christ today is unparalleled and unmatched, even as it was in the Apostles' time. My dedication to Jesus and the Church is fervent, and a total self-denial. I was the founder of two churches, and pastor of a local church. I was willing to sacrifice and wait to build the church's sanctuary and fellowship hall for the work of God. I gave the greatest portion of my inheritance, and 9 consecutive years without a salary from the church for my service to Jesus Christ and the church, to build 2 edifices, an ornamental fence, and an outdoor electronic LED sign, debt-free. I paid all contractors the price they charged me promptly, according to the stipulation of the contract when they finished their jobs. I did not burden the church with selling products for money. They helped me with tithes and offerings. I thank God for the help of the church. I authored my first book of sermons titled, Oracles of God. This is Paul's testimony of his abundant love for the church and tremendous suffering for the love of Jesus Christ. He not only was a pastor, but also a spiritual father for the church. 2 Corinthians 12:14-15, And I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. This should be the love of God manifested in each pastor. They should seek the spiritual and physical well-being of the church, instead of being burdensome with a carnal attitude toward them. Paul's faithfulness in sufferings, 2 Corinthians 11:26, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city. Verse 25, Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Verses 27-28, In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul, the apostle, experienced many sufferings even among his own people, because he was committed to Jesus Christ. Although he was a great intellectual, he gave up everything the world had to offer to suffer for the love of Christ. Paul performed Jesus' will in his life. Paul continues, Colossians 4:12, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is the reason we must endure suffering, that we can be perfect and complete in all the will of God. This is the will of God for us to endure all those things for our spiritual perfection. When the Spirit of God inspired John to write to the 7 churches in Asia Minor, he wrote this letter to the church in Smyrna. Godly pastors have the title and position of angels, who are supernatural creatures to protect humanity. Acts 6:15, And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Revelation 2:8-10, And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead, and is alive, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, there is a true Christian church enduring the suffering life for Christ's sake, even as those saints were in Smyrna. They are poverty-stricken in material goods, and yet rich in faith. They are without rebuke in their service to Jesus Christ and humanity. The Spirit of God testified that He knows our tribulation, yet we are spiritually rich in the eyes of God. The true church should not fear the power of Satan, because the Lord limits his power and subjects him to the power of God. The Spirit of God is saying these words to his true church today, verses 10 to 11, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The Lord is expecting faithful service until death, and he will give us a crown of eternal life. The blood of Jesus, which is a symbol of his word, must cover us. We, also, must be partakers of all of God's words through experience, and thereby, we shall come in the volume of the book, which is the word of God, covering us with the blood of Jesus. Currently, the blood, spiritually, is a symbol of the life and death of Jesus Christ. David spiritually and literally experienced the word of God. David said, Psalm 40:7-8. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. If we expect to live for Jesus and please him, his words must be within our heart, and we must indeed be willing. Paul wrote, Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul said that we should surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as a sacrificial offering. When the Lord purges us from our sins, then alone can we be that sacrifice which is holy and acceptable in the sight of God. Those who refuse to sacrifice their lives for Christ's sake, and the gospel, will eventually lose their lives. Jesus said, St. Matthew 16:25, For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. All who sacrifice their lives for Jesus Christ shall inherit eternal life. The Lord will destroy in hell those who refuse and rebel against him. We must have spiritual love and affection for Jesus Christ. Psalm 2:12, Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Jesus revealed these words to John, Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus certainly is alive this very moment, and he has the keys, which are a metaphor of power and authority to give or take life. Jesus continues, St. Matthew 16:27, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 26, For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus desires for us to understand that if we accumulate all the wealth that the world has to offer, none of these material things can deliver us from hell. You may buy friendship with material possessions and worldly prestige, but with God, we must have a life sacrificed for Jesus Christ, dedicated for the purpose of saving souls. Psalm 49:6-9, They that trust in their wealth, and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever, and not see corruption. The highest thing that God created was the soul of humanity. There is nothing more precious to God than the human family. Yes, the redemption of our soul is precious in his eyes, and when you stand before Jesus in judgment, he will remind you of those souls. If you refuse to suffer for their sake, you will be a castaway. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 9:17, For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Yes, we will have a reward if we obey and live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, if you refuse to live for Jesus Christ, you will be guilty of the lives of lost souls. The Gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God's words in which He has committed into the hands of anointed ministers for the salvation of souls. Paul wrote, verse 16, "For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." Verses 22-23, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake." We must be committed at all cost for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 27, "But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." All ministers should take heed and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and likewise control themselves with humility and obedience. Otherwise, after they have preached to others, they fall into condemnation. Hebrews 10:26-27, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Verses 28-29, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Those souls who despise the gospel and love of Jesus Christ will have an eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Jesus condemned the foolish virgins. They would not accept salvation because they thought that morality was sufficient. St. Matthew 25:1-3, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them." The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which the foolish virgins did not have. They symbolize unbelievers who believe they are going to heaven because they live a standard of morality without the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Conclusion, Apostle Paul warned unbelievers that if they did not have the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Christ, Jesus would not give them eternal life. Romans 8:9, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his."